It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
I was talking to somebody called me when word got out that we were talking to Farhan, who is a, I'll leave his name out of it, but he's a on the field person, in uniform person, who said, let me just tell you, who's had a direct experience with Farhan, and said, let me just tell you something about Farhan. He's a great leader of people. He loves scouting. He loves listening. He loves players. Has the highest integrity possible. And he's super competitive. So you put all that together, it's a pretty good combination. And we're thrilled to welcome Farhan. And then one other thing, in our conversations, what was especially compelling given the Giants organization, the way we like to present ourselves, is that he had a very much of a values-based approach to management and to the organization and to leadership, and all of that made it a pretty compelling opportunity for us to bring Farhan to this organization. So, welcome, Farhan.
That was November the 9th, 2018. Larry Bear, one of the owners, the San Francisco Giants, one of the partners, introducing Farhan Zaidi. He was named the president of the baseball operations November the 6th, 2018. And yeah, that did not age well. Did not age well. As Farhan was shown the door yesterday, let go after 6 years and five of the seasons, he missed the postseason. Had the one outlier, 107 wins in 2021. But in the last 3 years, third place, fourth place, fourth place. And Zaidi turned out to not be a savant, as McCovey Chronicles wrote a day after he was hired by the Giants. The headline was, the Giants didn't just bring their own organization into the 21st century, they moved right to the bleeding edge of baseball. That was the headline. They moved right to the bleeding edge of baseball. And they have, quote, McCovey Chronicles, and it's a good site. I respect any site that covers a team and gets into the ins and outs or whatnot, but here's what he said. I'm telling you, there's nothing to fear about Farhan Zaidi. The Giants might have just hired the smartest guy in the room, but they've also hired a curious mind who incorporates all information available to him when making his evaluations. He's not a machine, and he's not an instinct-driven grit master. He's a baseball fan. He's a baseball fan. Well, he may be a baseball fan, and I, you know, read that he was a Blue Jays fan because every other summer he went to Canada after his family moved to the Philippines, and you know, he's there to witness Joe Carter's home run. He's an 11th grader out there. Whatever. Baseball fan, whatnot. He just wasn't good at his job. He wasn't good at his job, and I think it was clearly obvious, Shasky, over the last 3 years that he wasn't good at his job.
Why do you say that?
There's a few things. One, you replaced Bruce Bochy with Gabe Kapler when nobody wanted Gabe Kapler, and Gabe Kapler's a nice guy. But that was your home run hire. You're the smartest guy in the room. And you hire a castoff from Philadelphia who had all the talent in the world, obviously.
And then you threw him under the bus 3 years later.
You threw him under the bus to save your own ass, which is fine. Okay, whatever. I get it. It's big business. Saves your own ass. So Xavier, the six-year-old, who says, I like it when Bonte says ass, and he cusses. Well, I'm going to curse here. He saved his own ass by getting rid of Kapler. It made him a fall guy, even though he was writing out the lineups. The platooning, the style of play, the lack of athleticism, the way you manage your pitching staff, your starting rotation. All the signs were there over the last 2.5-3 years. It was. And I go back to that June 20th or whatever it was in August or in 2022 when they went down to Atlanta and played the Braves. And you sat here with me on this crossover. Remember, Shasky, I went crazy. I said, I don't think this is sustainable. I'm sorry. There were 8 games over .500. We should have been enjoying the fact that the Giants were rolling. I said, I don't think this is sustainable. And a month later, they were nowhere to be heard from. And so the signs were there. the signings, the yo-yoing. We come up with the Sacramento Shuttle. The Sacramento Shuttle, which is, I thought the Giants missed the boat on the whole sponsorship on the side of New Jersey. Instead of having crews, it should have been Amtrak. Because guys were going back and forth to Sutter Hill Park. Am I in Sacramento or San Francisco? Should I change my area code to 916 or should I keep it to 415 or to 628? What should I do here? The Sacramento Shuttle used so much mileage, Shasky. Of train tracks need to be replaced.
If we were ranking the list of failures of why someone would get let go at the GM job for the Giants, I think a lot of people are going to click on articles that talk about free agency. And to me, that's so wrong.
No.
It's so wrong. Now, am I frustrated with free agency? Yeah. But you know why? Because you were reliant on free agency because you failed to draft and develop.
Which was supposed to be his strength.
Okay. And then the other part is you made no trades. No good trades. Like none. Like in your mind, if you were to say, of the three World Series, what's the one that's probably the best team?
The best team?
Of the three World Series that they won.
I may go 2012.
No, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Okay. So can I just give you just the roster?
Right.
Buster Posey, drafted and developed. Brandon Belt, drafted and developed. Okay. At second base, it was Scudero. That was a late season trade. Brandon Crawford, drafted and developed. Pablo Sandoval, third base, drafted and developed. Melky Cabrera, a shrewd free agent signing. He ended up not making the roster for the playoffs.
Right.
Angel Pagan, who was a shrewd trade that they made. And then you had Hunter Pence, which was a great trade that you ended up making. Yep. Gregor Blanco was the guy who ended up playing left field at times for them. Farhan built a team of Gregor Blancos. And I love Gregor. Gregor can be a great 8th, 9th, 10th guy on a roster. He cannot be your 3-4-5 hitter on a daily basis for 6 years. Mm. And that was the problem. Then I look at their pitching staff, okay? Matt Cain, Bumgarner. Zito was a big part of that 2012 team. I'll give him credit. Big free agent sign. He inherited, the big money. Ryan Vogelsong was a Giants guy. Mm-hmm. They traded him away, brought him back. Lincecum, Santiago Casilla, obviously Sergio Romo. Brian Wilson got hurt that year. Mm-hmm. But the constant theme is what? Drafting and developing. Yep. Or drafting, identifying, and trading. And so to me, we could talk about free agent signings and the missing of Harper and Judge and Correa and Ohtani. You're wasting your time.
Right.
The biggest mistake that this organization has made is the drafting and developing simultaneously with the identifying in your minor league system who's not here to stay.
Right.
And making shrewd trades to get rid of those guys. You know what I think Buster Posey's going to do no matter who takes over? I think you're going to see some big-time player movement in the minor league system this offseason. Because you know what? If a guy doesn't have an opportunity to thrive here, you trade him for somebody who you think does.
And I also think Buster is not going to stand for some of the lack of hustle, the attitude, the lack of effort. From some of these guys, he's not going to stand for that. Things are going
to
change.
Don't you also think as a young, and I didn't mean to cut you there, as a young guy, when Buster came up, what did they do with Benji?
Moved off him.
Okay. They cleared the way to allow him to play.
Yep.
And when I think of someone like Bryce Eldridge, I was thinking about this long and hard. It's like the perfect guy to have as your GM or your president of baseball ops is Buster Posey. They're not going to bring in a Pete Alonso. They're not going to bring in somebody to block the playing time every day of a Bryce Eldridge.
It's your job right now.
Or you bring in a Paul Goldschmidt for 2 years. I'm just hypothetically, right? And you say, teach this guy how to be a big leaguer.
Right.
One of you is going to DH and the other one's going to play first base.
Right.
But you're both in the lineup for the next 2 years
right.
together. That's where I think a Buster Posey having the feel of what it was like being a young player and understanding
that's a good point.
You gave Brandon Crawford shortstop and you just said, I don't care about your bat.
Right.
Just play great defense.
Right.
When you put Pablo Sandoval at third base, say, young man, I know you don't have a great eye for the strike zone, you just swing
just
and just do your thing.
Just play.
I think that the empowering of the young players is the most important aspect on why Farhan failed here in San Francisco.
Which I want to, you brought up Crawford, and those are great points. Brandon Belt, I thought it may have hindered him throughout his tenure with the Giants, who knows? But I thought the yo-yoing of him early in his tenure, set Brandon Belt back. That wasn't my favorite move with Bochy and Sabian and Evans. It's like, just let the kid play. just let the kid play. Now, I get how we feel about Brandon Belt now, but at the time I said, boy, you got him going back and forth to Fresno because the AAA affiliate was in Fresno at the time. Got him going back and forth, man. Just let him play. Let him play at the big league level. But with all that said, I want to answer this question here from the 408 Comcast Business Sex Line. How did you guys feel when he first got hired? Were you out on him from the start? I wasn't. I was in favor of the move because I felt like, okay, they need a regime change. Sabian Evans, Evans Sabian, it kind of ran its course. I get it. They had a hell of a run. Hell of a run. It was time to turn the page. We saw where it was going. And so I was open-minded with Farhan Zaidi. Everybody talked that he was the mastermind behind the Dodgers next to Andrew Freeman. I didn't believe that aspect of it, but I was open-minded about Farhan saying, okay, let him cook. Okay, and then 2021 happened. Because I'll give him an outlier for the pandemic season. Whatever. It was a lost year. Everybody's playing 60 games. It's a sprint to the playoffs.
Buster opted out.
Buster didn't play that season. It was weird. It was wacky. It was a lot of wackiness. All right. You get to 2021. You win 107. It's like, wow. Okay. Maybe he is the guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he is the guy. That offseason came and went. And then the farm system was not really churning out talent. And it kept platooning. And I was like, wait, is this the plan 4 years in? 3 years in? Is this the plan? Is it the platoon and dramatically shift? And, you know, we're going to have openers and we're going to have starting pitchers go five innings? This is not fun to watch. So the entertainment value started to dip for me. It started to dip. And then midway through that season, I was like, yeah, I don't know about this guy. I started having my doubts. And in 2023, it just reared its ugly head. I was like, oh, I'm so out on this guy. But early on, Shasky, I want to get your thoughts. Yeah. How'd you feel when he first got hired? Because I was open-minded about the hire.
I was very skeptical. Okay? Very skeptical. And the reason why I'm skeptical, look, I just believe in my baseball mind, there are certain principles that I subscribe to. Pitch, play defense. It's pretty, put the ball in play. That's to my core, right. I will go to my dying death thinking of my dad, put the ball in play, play great defense, throw strikes. That to me has always been a winning formula. It has always been a winning formula in AT&T, aka Oracle Park, as well. And yeah, are there teams that I like that slug? No doubt. Timely hitting is very important, and we know that. And having sluggers is extremely important. We won championships, and I've always seen good baseball, like the Braves, for example. Yeah. They had great hitting, but you know what they did? They played great defense, they put the ball in play, and they pitched their butts off. Mm-hmm. That never goes out of style. And so when I saw a de-emphasis on putting the ball in play, when I saw a de-emphasis on defense and they were shifting everything, Wilmer Flores, I love Wilmer. He was the worst second and third baseman I've seen in my life. And they kept putting him out there like, well, with the shift, it doesn't matter. It's like, no, it does matter.
It does matter.
And then not being able to control the running game, like I was skeptical from day one because it went against all my baseball principles. All of the principles. Yep. I kept saying, well, maybe I'm a relic of a past that doesn't no longer exist. And then you know what baseball did? They changed their own rules. They said, we're going to shift. They're going to ban the shift.
Less.
We're putting in a pitch clock. You can only throw over three times to first base, a three batter minimum. The bases are going to be larger, and we're going to add an extra wild card. And so, look, man, I was always skeptical, and I was probably first at the trough of, like, I'm out. And Lubman and I did podcasts with Mark, and I've done a million podcasts with Lubman as well. And there were certain things that would happen. It would drive me nuts. Yeah. For example, you guys don't know how to hold a runner on. No. That's Little League stuff. You guys are throwing the ball around. Well, you lead baseball in errors year after year. You can't steal a base to save your life.
No,
you're
can't.
The least athletic team in the league. And every year to end the season, you tell me, we're going to get more athletic.
We're going to run
more.
And
it got slower.
In a league that was shifting to running and displaying more athleticism with the likes of Ronald Acuña Jr. and Mookie Betts and Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunnar Henderson and so on and so forth, there's a lot there. We haven't even got to some of the things he said about the city.
Well, that's a whole
and blaming the city. And that's an entire different show. And so when you do that, when you don't acquire the talent and you don't build up the farm system, because, you know, we got a couple examples of Marco Luciano. Shortstop is his to start the season. No, it wasn't. You lied. Why'd you lie? To say Marco Luciano's not ready. He clearly wasn't. He couldn't field a grounder better than me. You saw me out there at the softball diamond in West Sussex. I can't field to save my life with my damn bad hammies and poor Achilles. Luciano's the same way, so you don't know what position he is after having him in your system for many, many years. Where's the development? Casey Schmidt, boy, it started off great. I was hyped up about Casey Smith. You got me hyped up about him. And he comes out here, and he doesn't even know what to say. He's just swinging at everything. And Katos comes on the show and says, well, he's swinging at 50% of the pitches. It's not going to end well. And we were in denial. And he still hasn't been heard from. The guy's been yo-yo back to Sacramento about 15 times. He's been to Sacramento more in the last year than I've been to Sacramento in my life. And I've been here my entire life. Seriously, it's terrible. This guy, so the player development, it's and then just, blaming the city. What do you say, the idiosyncratic nature of the city or whatnot, the ballpark, and I went down to the press and he shot back at me and whatnot. It's like, dude, these are your quotes. He said them. So that aspect of everything, not playing to your ballpark, and then the handling of the Alex Wood, like, I know Alex Wood is not some major league superstar, but when you're playing with Alex Wood and he's like, you know what, five innings, that's your limit. Yeah, we're not going to go a third time around the lineup because the data says, well, if the pitcher's rolling, just let him see if he can roll. There's no feel. There's no baseball feel. And I think that's what we'll get from Buster Posey, a feel of the game.
I'm going to put his stuff out there because now it's all over. But I used to get text messages and phone calls from Mark Abanez. And I love Mark Abanez.
He goes crazy about Farhan.
He goes crazy. And the thing he kept saying to me is like, Joe, he lacks emotional intelligence. Yep. You could be the smartest. And this is the problem with people that are really book smart, sometimes lack specific social cues and can be awkward in certain settings, but there's a feel for how to treat people and how to talk to people and understanding the human element, and they just lack that. They completely lack that. Yep. And so, you know, they had to move on. The proof was in the pudding. You brought up Luciano, and I do want to stop here.
We didn't bring up Carlos Correa and that whole debacle. I mean, that was, remember that one? We didn't even bring that up. We forgot all about that. The physical, and yeah, two minutes before the presser. Yeah, we're not going to have this. We need a physical. We need to check something out. We still fine with the Twins. Now, I know they failed and they flopped and they didn't make the playoffs because the Tigers surged and ascended and they're in the playoffs and the Minnesota Twins basically blew it there. But the whole Carlos Correa situation, and you sign him without telling Crawford, hey, he's going to be our shortstop. You're moving to third base. Like, it's just the tact, the personal feel. It's just, oh my gosh, this is the worst executive we've ever had in the Bay Area, I believe. I may be wrong, but in my 42 years of living, I've never seen anybody worse.
I don't know. I don't know if he's the worst.
He might be worse than Terry Donahue,
but,
dog.
But I do want to bring up Luciano because, like, when you inherit certain pieces, it really, you know, you can benefit from utilizing them properly, right? Sabian, yeah. Did he inherit Barry Bonds?
Yep.
Okay. Did he utilize Barry Bonds pretty mm-hmm. to the fullest? Mm-hmm. Did he inherit Matt Williams? What did he do with Matt Williams?
Flip Matt Williams from Jeff Kent and Company.
And it ended up being one of the great trades in Giants history. Yep. It broke my heart. I mean, I'll never forget, broke my heart. When you inherit Luciano, no one is saying you have to keep him, you know, death be damned. But it is your job to identify what position does he play?
Yeah.
Is he worth investing 6 years of patience into? And then you are tasked, if you're going to keep him, with making sure he does develop to a specific position. This is a guy who came up and didn't even hit a warning track fly ball, let alone a home run. Well, the bat didn't translate. And then he can't play any position, and you wait until the end of the year, and you go, you know, we're going to have him shag some fly balls in the outfield. What? See, to me, Luciano, it's not even that Luciano stinks. It's that you failed to understand what he was. Yep. You didn't even have the awareness to identify what position he was. You didn't understand how to properly develop him. You carved out time for him only to put Nick Ahmed there because you realized almost immediately he couldn't play the position.
Well, how about trading Jorge Soler saying Luciano's going to pick up the DH at bats. He doesn't play for 10 days.
And then you got Cannon. He doesn't play.
And then you bring in Marquette, and people say, well, he's a good vibes guy. He's going to be professional. Cannon didn't hit a single jack coming back to San Francisco. And the guy's a local guy, and I don't want to crush the guy, but you said Luciano's going to get at bats at DH, and he doesn't play for like 10 days. So what are you doing? Speaking of Luciano, how about Kyle Harrison from De La Salle? You piped him up to be this lefty of the future, and he still may be. I got high hopes for Kyle Harrison. But in AAA, you decide, you know what? We're not going to let him go more than four innings at a time. He's going to go three innings here, four innings here. But we want you to go into the rotation to start the season. And then he can't go more than four innings. He gets to the fifth inning, and he flails. Jordan Hicks. You signed Jordan Hicks, who had never been a starting pitcher in his career, had never pitched more than 78 innings in a season. hey, Jordan, we're going to sign you. You're going to be a starting pitcher. Well, what do you know? He's got all kind of arm troubles, shoulder troubles. Couldn't even pitch the last six to eight weeks. So these moves that you made where you tried to be a mastermind and convert guys from whether they're a natural third baseman to a second baseman, a starting pitcher who all of a sudden you got to pitch in 3 to 4 innings in the minors and then all of a sudden you're asked to be a starter, or Jordan Hicks, who was a bullpen guy, a reliever who threw 100. Hey, we want you to be a starting pitcher. Go figure. Even Jordan Hicks, you get to the fifth inning, you're like, damn, he's wilting. He's done.
Fonte, their number one guy who actually made an all-star game this year, Elliot Ramos, one of the few pieces you feel good about, was stuck behind Austin Slater, Jung-Hoo Lee, Mike Yastrzemski, and Michael Conforto. And had injuries not happened to Slater and Jung-Hoo Lee, we would have never seen him.
Never. And you know what? We don't even know who Jung-Hoo Lee is. Yeah, we didn't see that song much. He's making $16 million next season, 23, 23 the year after, and we don't even know who he is. Let's get to the calls real quick.
What was the most bold thing he did, Giants fans? I'm just asking.
Was it trading for Chris Bryant?
It was a rental.
I know.
Like 13th best prospect.
I know.
I'm out.
Let's go to Adam in the city. Adam, what's happening?
Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I just wanted to say how happy I am that this move has finally happened. I wanted to know, Bonte, if you were playing Another One Bites the Dust as you were driving into work this morning.
Oh, you know, that's a good call, Adam. I should have played it. Another One Bite. Nah, we're going to retire that because the one guy's gone. We all want him. Bye-bye. We don't need no song for him.
Yeah, well, I just know that, like, it's this hire kind of makes me care as a Giants fan again, and I'll be honest that I haven't cared for a few years because I said as long as Farhan is, you know, directing this ship, like, I just have zero interest in this team. And, like, I think Buster Posey's going to bring back the old school type of baseball. I feel like analytics baseball for this team is out the window. Guys are going to play every day, see what they can contribute. So I love the hire. It gives some new hope to this team, and we'll see what happens.
Good call, Adam. Good call. Let's get to Larry in the city real quick. Larry, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Larry.
You know, I know I'm not calling about, you know, football and all this stuff, but I want to pay tribute to one of the greatest players as me as a kid in the 60s. Wanted to watch one of the greatest baseball players ever play the game. I mean, I've seen a lot of great players. Don't get me wrong, because I'm African-American. I've seen a lot of great African-American players. But nobody played like Pete Rose. I don't give a damn who it is. Pete Rose, Mr. Baseball. When we came up, I was looking for baseball games as a kid because I love the game of baseball. You know what I'm saying? In the 60s, that's how baseball was like basketball is today. Everybody looking for a basketball game. Well, that's what we did in the 60s, looking for a baseball game because we wanted to play like the great players of the 60s, like the Mays, the McCoveys, and the Pete Roses. But I just want to say about Pete Rose and baseball and his family, like, thanks a lot, Pete Rose. There'll never be another Pete Rose. And if you ever see Pete Rose play, he played baseball like it should have been played. With everything he gave, everything he's got. And if you see Pete Rose go to the plate, or the plate to the plate, you wouldn't want to be a catcher. With that, I'm out.
Hey, it's a great call. And, you know, my dad was 67 when he passed away, and his favorite player of all time, Willie Mays. And then the team that he claimed was the most impactful on his baseball-loving life was the Big Red Machine of the early and mid-70s. And the reason why is because that used to be on national television, and he'd watch them all the time. And Pete Rose, you know, Charlie Hustle, mm-hmm. played the game the way my dad thought the game should be played. Balls to the wall. I could play every position on the diamond. Now, I'm talking about the player.
Yeah.
The human being is someone completely different, and that's a whole nother can of worms. But the player, to be able to play high-level, gold-glove-level ball at literally seven different positions is one of the most incredible things of all time. Switch hitter, one of the greatest hitters of all time, 17-time All-Star. And to me, he signified going from the end of the beginning of the 1960s till the end of the 1980s as an impact in the game of baseball. What he did with the Phillies is obviously just incredible. But he's one of the most polarizing sports figures of all time.
He is.
There's no other way around it.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt he is. What hits king... Hits leader, MVP, batting average titles, you name it. World Series champion 3 times. However, it's hard for me to separate the baseball player from the person because we know he's been banned from baseball, from gambling on his own team. Now, he said he never bet on his team, the up line. After watching the documentary, I don't know what's what when it comes to Pete Rose. The baseball player, hell of a player. Hell of a player.
I assume he's a bad human being. But, that's what I would say.
But watching that documentary made me, and Matt and he could share the clip, because we used to have Pete Rose all the time. All the time on 95.7 Game. He would come on no matter what. He'd give us great sound bites, and he was funny or whatnot. But watching the documentary, and that's for just Pete Rose. Like, and I don't want to dump on him. He's dead, and I know his family's grieving like that. And I can't help myself when I saw this moment during the documentary when Joe Morgan died. And Joe Morgan's wife, name is evading me, but you know, she was expecting Pete to be there at the dinner and he doesn't show up. And then there's honoring him at Synergy Field or Great American Ballpark, I should say. Great American Ballpark. And he's not in the suite or whatnot. Next thing you know, he pops up in the seventh inning. And they're like, Pete, like, what's up? Doesn't get along with Johnny Bench for whatever reason.
Johnny Bench.
And then the stories with Pete Rose and the allegations and everything like that. It's hard for me to separate, man.
And I'm
the
guy was he was on roids.
He's a compulsive liar.
Yeah.
Hell of a baseball player.
No doubt.
But a compulsive liar.
I do believe it. I don't know if you saw Radnich, who doesn't tweet often, but Radnich put out that he thinks he, in part, died because of a broken heart. And I would take it a step further to Gary. And I don't know if Gary saw the doc on him.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's the end all be all. Like everything in there is true. Right. It's up to you to decide how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer in guilt eats at people.
Yep.
It eats at your soul.
Joe Paterno, I'm convinced.
Right?
He passed away because of the guilt that what happened over there in Happy Valley.
I'm
and
with
those
you.
Poor kids.
I'm 100%
guilt ate them up in the HBO documentary I am with who was Al Pacino playing Joe Paterno. I'm convinced the guilt ate them up.
So you and I are aligned.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. So,
look, is there an element of a broken heart or not being on the hall and all that? Yeah, and to all the people, they got what they wanted, who wanted to keep him out. I don't know how I would have dealt with it in real time. I thought he should have got in the entire time into the Hall of Fame. And because as a baseball player, he deserves to be recognized. And as a baseball player, you can't write the history of the game without his inclusion.
No doubt.
The individual to the side is completely different.
Yeah, it's.
And I do separate the two.
I try to separate the two. It's very, very hard. I even called my guy Marty Larry about it after I watched the doc, and I thought of him immediately. And he goes, Vontae, that's the real Pete Rose. You should read his book. And I meant to buy the book. Now that I'm reminded, I will read the book just to see what was in there. But, yeah, that's tough. That's tough. We're going to bring in Rich Arroyo, longtime Giant, NBC Sports Bay Area pre- and post-game. And I love Richie. He keeps it real. He'll keep it a buck. We'll get his thoughts on the firing of Farhan's ID. Well, they said the Giants have Farhan parted ways, but we know what happened. He's been replaced by Buster Posey as the president of baseball operations. We'll take Alamo and Rich. We'll get a call in before Richie, and then we'll get Scott and Deli Boy. Ha, Deli Boy, what up? Deli Boy, Scott, we'll get to him and Alamo. We'll do all that coming up here on the Morning Roast, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I would rather be the White Sox.
What up? This is Turtle Pop Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Yee!
How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
Oh, I like that a lot because I'm sure a lot of people got roasted yesterday after Farhan was let go by the San Francisco Giants. We will air the live presser with Buster Posey, Greg Johnson, and of course Bob Melvin. We'll air that as soon as it starts at 10 a.m. We'll toss to it. Buster Posey, the presser will happen today down there at 3rd and King, 24 Willie Mays Plaza. You know, I like to get the addresses in there. Let's get a call in before we get to Richie, before we get to Rich Arroyo. Let's get to Alamo and the Rich. Actually, let's get to Alamo. He wants to talk. You know what? No, let's get Deli Boy. Deli Boy. Alamo, hang tight, Alamo. I want to get your thoughts, but hang tight. Let's get the Deli Boy on 280. What's happening, Deli Boy?
What's happening, guys? Long time no talk. How you been?
Oh, man.
Hey, let me just say, are all Giants fans today? Shouldn't we all be celebrating? Listen, the one thing I'm not hearing from you guys is what Buster Posey now brings to the Giants is hope. We haven't had hope in years. We've been just stuck in mediocrity for, 7 years, 8 years now? Forget 2021. Yeah, 107 wins, fantastic year. But let's be real. It was a fluke. All right, we should never have even been there. And if we were there, Farhan, that was your chance to double down, make some moves, let's keep competitive. Didn't do anything. And being stuck in mediocrity, I think, is even worse than what being with the White Sox. I'd rather tank. I'd rather just be like, yeah, we're tanking. This is it. 100 losses. Oh, well, it is what it is. Being stuck at 500 for 7 years with no direction, who are we? Are we a slugging team? Well, we haven't had a slugger since Barry Bonds hit 30 home runs in, 2006? Well, what's that? Are we a defensive team? Well, we have the most errors in the league. Are we a batting average team? Do we hit for a high average? Well, we don't do that either. So what are we? What kind of team are we? I think with Buster, we're finally going to find out this is our identity, and I think you guys hit on it. We're going to be a defensive-oriented team.
Deadly Boy's cutting out a little bit here. Give us a call back. Alan and Scott, we'll get you.
Cellularness.
Yeah. Right after we get to Rich Arulia here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, in Lathrop? Our boy Rich Arulia, who was a Giant from 95 to 03, came back from 07 to 09. Of course, the Giants Wall of Fame, Silver Slugger Award in 01, All-Star in 01, an All-Star person as well. Does a hell of a job on NBC Sports Bay Area on the pre- and post-game show. And Rich, good morning to you, man. What a day for the San Francisco Giants, and a day a lot of fans were waiting for, the day that Farhan Zaidi was let go. Richie, good morning to you. Welcome back to the show. What was your reaction yesterday at around 10:01, 10:02 when the Giants announced that they were letting go Farhan Zaidi?
Oh, well, good morning, guys. I don't know if I was fired up like that caller you had there, but
that's my brother, Richie. That's my brother. He's excited.
We weren't supposed to hit that nepotism here on the show.
My brother,
really
my brother. You know.
I mean, that was pretty good, and I got to be honest with you. There wasn't a lot of what he said that wasn't true. Getting the news yesterday, I think the whole thing for me was, you know, I think I was working the games the days that those articles came out with The Athletic and then The Chronicle. And I think at that point, at least in my mind, I had a pretty good idea that Farhan might not be back. Mm. When news like that or stories like that leak, it's never a good thing for the person involved who's supposed to be in charge. But was I surprised at the Buster decision to come back and take over the role? Yeah, I was. I mean, we've heard Buster say, you know, as recent as a couple of years ago, like, you know, he was just going to be kind of a go-between the players and Greg Johnson and Larry Bear and Farhan. But now, you know, I don't know, maybe he saw enough to coerce him back into the role of running this baseball side of this organization. So I think for 99% of the people out there who are Giants fans, I think there's a good feeling today. The press conference is coming up soon. But I'm sure, as you know, I've read a few things this morning. I'm sure there's some people that are probably dogging the move based off of no experience, but I think they're just dogging the move because they want to be different than everybody else.
Spot on with that one, Rich.
Richie, like the experiencing is, it's like laughable almost because, I mean, Buster has prepared by scouting out the other team and building a strategy for his pitching staff his entire career. I'm not saying that translates to understanding contracts and all that stuff, because there's a lot that goes into president of baseball ops. Like there's so much that goes into it, but like just a baseball mind, a guy that was behind the dish forever, understanding what it takes to be a high prospect that come through the system to take a starting spot, to lead a team, to be the centerpiece of an organization, to build strategies on what's the best lineup to trot out on a given day, or how to pitch around a guy or whatever it is. Like I just think we're underselling that he's actually been doing portions of the job for like 15 years.
Well, I agree with you 1,000%. I think, for me, if I just look at it, you know, just on the surface, right? I think, you know, the term or the title baseball of president of baseball operations, right? That's a vast title. I think right now, the way I look at it is, what's Buster Posey's new title? To come in here and get this team back on track to where they should be. Mm. That's how I look at it, right? I mean, a guy that's played for a number of years, one of the most beloved Giants of all time, a guy that's had ultimate success at the highest level, both individually and team-wise, and a guy who I think everybody who's watching play over the years really looks at him as an intelligent individual, not an intelligent baseball player. We already know that, but intelligent individual. So I think this says a lot about Buster in the sense of, I think he's a consummate professional, consummate winner. And I think what he's seen gone on here the last, 6 years or so, I think, he lived it for a couple of years, right? Yep. He was in that dugout.
Mm-hmm.
I think it kind of, and I don't know if this was his plan, when he came back in as part owner. I don't know if this was part of it, but I think he's seen enough and probably heard enough from players that he played with that were there in the last few years to have him make this decision to come back and try and get this organization as a baseball team back to the winning ways.
You know, Richie, you're spot on with that. And Tishaski's point about bringing in Posey and the experience thing. Well, John Lynch, they said the same thing about John Lynch with the San Francisco 49ers. But he was in the Denver front office and going to combines and workouts and taking his notes. And Posey's a guy who just doesn't fail at many things. But I want to ask you, Richie, because we've talked a lot about this team and the way they play and the style of play. And it wasn't entertaining at all. Let's be honest. It was just not an appealing product, especially the last three seasons. What went wrong for Farhan Zaidi during his tenure, Richie? What do you pinpoint and say, boy, that one really hurt him over his 6-year tenure?
Well, I can't, listen, first of all, in these articles that came out a few weeks ago, first of all, I hope Farhan's okay health-wise because we read that he had some health issues, right? And, I really don't know Farhan that well because he was never really readily made available to us.
Did that hurt him?
He wasn't.
Real quick, to stop you, Richie, and we can fill this, but we've just touched on that this morning. All the guys, whether it's Larry Bear, Sabian, Evans, and John Lynch, and Bob Myers, and you see Dunleavy, they have made themselves accessible to the community, and I think that really hurt Farhan. He was kind of closed in, and this is not the market to do that in.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I don't know. Final straw, does that matter? I don't know, but I know as a member of the media now, it probably would have made his life a lot easier if he was a little more available. I mean, listen, I played for Sabes and, for years. And, as surly as Sabes could be and as great of a guy as he is and how much I love him, he always made himself available regardless. So I think a lot of times when you, I'm getting off your last question, but a lot of times when you are put in a situation, you're making the types of moves he's making and you're not readily available there to explain them or to make a comment about them. Yeah, I think that hurts because I think for your basic fan of the Giants, I think what bothered them more than anything was the constant picking up of players off waivers or trading for guys nobody had heard of. And they basically got a few at-bats or pitched an inning or two, and then they were gone the next week. I think that's what fans got tired of. And that was just the way Farhan kind of went about it. And I don't know if it was searching for lightning in a bottle, because he did have a couple guys that hit. Yastrzemski, has been a productive player. Lamont Wade was productive for a few years. But, reclamation project and Gausman and, stuff like that worked. I mean, I also think he made some good trades for them as far as kind of dumping salary. He got the Mariners to take Haniger and DeSclafani for Robbie Ray. I thought that was a good deal. But I think in the long term, they just couldn't land a big free agent. I mean, they tried. I mean, they tried for a number of guys, and they just couldn't land a big free agent. Don't know why that is. Don't know if that was Farhan or anybody else. Yeah, who knows?
But Richie, don't you think, and I don't mean to interrupt you here, but I hear you on the free agency. I just think we put way too much stock into that. When I look at the great teams, right, that the Giants have had, and everyone's going to point to Barry Bonds as a free agent, maybe even Barry Zito as a free agent, fine. I'll grant people those. And Bonds is huge. It's one of it's an all-time outlier situation. The best teams are draft and develop and then make shrewd trades. I was going through the 2012 team, and the entire infield was homegrown. And then the outfield, you made trades for Angel Pagan. You made a trade for Hunter Pence, and the entire pitching staff essentially was homegrown, and the bullpen was pretty homegrown with a couple of trades in there. I would make the argument that their identity was supposed to be, we're going to draft and develop, and they didn't do that, so they couldn't swing big trades for guys that were available. They didn't have a young stockpile of talent coming through, and then you had a bunch of no-name, faceless avatar guys like a Nick Ahmed soaking up spots, you know, that young guys we were hoping would play in, and they never would get the opportunity. You know, I brought this up, and I'm long-winded here, but like, Joey Bart comes up, he has two great, this is a couple, like, I don't know, a year or two ago, he had two great at-bats. He smokes two balls. Third at bat, oh, here comes Lamont Wade Jr. to pinch hit for him. I'm like, wait a minute. The young guy just got called back up. He just got two great at bats, and you're going to pinch hit for him because a righty's coming in? Like, they never gave opportunities, and they didn't develop any young players.
Well, yeah, and I agree with you on that. And I mean, listen, the whole way they played, you know, through the Gabe era with the analytics and the platooning. I mean, you could say it worked in 2021, but everything went right that year, man. Find me one thing that went wrong in 2021. Mm-hmm. There's not one thing. But I go back to the fact of, you know, you brought up Joey Bart, good example. Joey Bart was not that regime's draft pick. He was not their draft pick. And I just personally think that, you know, they maybe didn't like him as a player or what he was developing or the level he was developing at. But to me, it goes back to scouting. And from everything, at least I'm not saying I know 100%, but from everything I've heard, it's like the whole scouting idea had changed when this new regime came in. I mean, they let go of a bunch of scouts. They do a lot of stuff via video as opposed to maybe, you know, going to see a guy play and, you know, sitting down with him and talking to. There's a lot of intangibles when it comes to players, right? I mean, don't you think? I mean,
psychologically, Richie, you know this. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to your coaches. Right. I want to talk to your teammates. Like when you're not just recruiting the guy. You're recruiting their family and their friends and what are they like on when they're in a slump. I don't know.
Human touch, Richie. It's just too much behind the scenes, spreadsheets, computers. We want the human touch here. But
here's an example for you guys, and I'll tell you, because I love this guy and I think his career ended way too soon, but like, everybody's like, well, why was Joe Panik a first round draft pick? He didn't hit for above average power. He wasn't above average speed. He was maybe a little above average defender. He put the ball in play, but you can't dictate how a guy plays the game and his emotion for it and his drive by just watching the video. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that guy had a pretty big impact on his organization for a short period of time he was here. But, I look at a guy like that and, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to know the person or the background or something like that to judge it. And I just think that is an area where maybe they've been lacking in the last number of years with the draft, because I mean, realistically, I mean, Luciano's been there for a long time.
Yep.
Elliot Ramos has had opportunities, and this is the first year that he really, you know, kind of stood out and made the most of his opportunity. But, you know, you know, Chef, you brought up like Nick Ahmed, right?
Right.
I mean, they had, you know, anointed Marco Luciano as shortstop, I mean, for this year when the last season ended. But, I mean, all you have to do is watch the guy play a couple games at shortstop. He wasn't ready.
At all.
And then he wasn't hitting.
At all.
And then he's injured all the time. I mean, you know, my whole thing all the time was like, I remember hearing this comment at some point. I don't know if it was this year or last year. The comment was made by, you know, I might have been four. I don't know who it was. But they said like, oh, we're not going to call a guy up until he, you know, like dominates his level and whatever. And I'm like, you know, I'm not saying Marco Luciano is not a good player, but show me where he's dominated a level. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's weird. And, you know, you always feel bad for a guy that gets let go, you know, from his contract, even if it's a front office person. But if you look back, I mean, 500, how many years? 3 years?
Yeah.
Under 500, 2 years, and the one big year. I think it was time for a move, and I think Buster, you know, at least on paper, right? At least on paper, is a guy that I think people trust, and they know he knows the game. And I think his job starts, I mean, it'll start right after this press conference today, knowing Buster,
trying to get this team ready to go for next year and what kind of moves can be made to make this team better. Because, listen, this division isn't going anywhere,
no,
man.
No doubt.
Dodgers, Padres, and Diamondbacks, they're not going anywhere, and you're looking up at the three of them. So I'm excited to see what he decides to do. I could actually say it's funny because I don't even know if you guys noticed, but Buster, I could actually say Buster was a teammate of mine because he got called up in 2009, my last year.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, when I knew something about Buster, we went to Philly. We flew to Philly, and we got in late night. And one of the things, like, we always did, because I did it when I was a rookie, like, we get on the bus and we're like, tell Buster on the plane, hey, you're going to go get cheesesteaks for everybody tonight when we get in. Take everybody's order on the plane and go get cheesesteaks. And Buster didn't say a word about it. He just went and did it. And then got a knock on my door at like 1:30 in the morning after we got in. He's like, hey, Rich, here's your cheesesteak. And I was like, all right, thanks, man. And I was like, okay, this guy gets it, man. He gets it, right? He gets it. He kind of knows the rules and, you know, he understands it. So I think right there is when I was like, I like this guy and he's old school. And granted, I think, you know, he's going to implement some new school like analytics or whatever. But listen, yes, Buster, he'll tell you, analytics has been around forever.
Thank
right? Just
you.
In a different form. It's just a different form. It's a scouting report,
thank
dude.
Thank you.
That's all it is.
Richie,
so spot on
I
with
was
that
screaming
one.
To Devontae no, in the first thing. I go, every game I've ever played, hey, this guy's hit three to right field. Take a couple steps that way. That's analytics.
It's analytics in baseball, Richie. It's like, talk about these quarterbacks in football. Well, he's a system quarterback and this and that, game manager. Well, that's what quarterbacks do. They manage the game.
Exactly.
And they're all running a system. What are we actually saying here? So the whole analytic thing and the little things with Buster Posey, I'm glad you brought up that story because I want to know from you, Richie, what do you think the biggest challenge will be for him? Because last year, Richie, on this show, you want to talk about articles. We were wondering, like, why is Buster Posey moving back from Georgia? There's got to be something in the cards here. We were assuming that he was going to be the next manager of the Giants. Now, that didn't work out, but now he's the president of baseball operations, which is a big deal. What is the biggest challenge he'll face in this new role, Richie?
I think because of his background and his history, I think the challenge is going to be kind of, in my mind, restructuring the minor league system, like we just talked about with scouting, with drafting, because you guys hit it on the head, man. The reason those teams won World Series is because a lot of those guys were homegrown. So you didn't have to go out and trade anybody for free agents. And when you did have to trade for somebody, it was never really a huge piece. I mean, you can even go back to 12 and say, like, you know, Hunter Pence wasn't a huge piece. He was just a piece that fit into, you know, the rest of the puzzle. Marco Scudero, Freddie Sanchez, Javi Lopez. I mean, these were always like just moves to help the big picture, the big piece, you know, put that small piece in the big puzzle. So I think building from within, I think he's going to probably really dive into, and whether that is more, you know, getting more scouts back on the payroll or scouting differently or however they're doing it, I think that's number one. I don't think he'll have trouble with his resume talking to like free agent players if they decide to go after some people, because I mean, listen, the guy's resume speaks for itself, doesn't it? He's going to be a Hall of Famer. So when you're dealing with somebody like that instead of somebody who's never played the game, I think that helps bring people in, bring free agents in. It's kind of like a, kind of like a Jerry West kind of role, right? Like when he was a player and went to the front office. So I'm excited for the, you know, today's an exciting day for Giants fans. And, you know, I hope it goes as planned. And again, a lot of things will not be in Buster's control. I mean, you know, you only go as far as your players take you. But I'm excited to see the direction this organization is going in. And I think also that a thing that he will bring back, which I think was kind of lost a little bit, is the history of the franchise, right?
Great
like
point.
The teams that won the three World Series. You know, you see Will Clark around there all the time. You know, you see Dave Dravecki. But it's like there's a lot of other veteran guys that did great things for this organization that you don't really see around a lot. And, you know, I think Buster really understands the history of the game and the importance of it and the history of this organization. So I think that'll be kind of a good thing for the Giants fans to see again.
Not going to lie, Richie, you just said that, and I got goosebumps right now because I feel reinvigorated with this new hire here. The press is going to happen in about an hour and 5 minutes. Richie, hope to see you more at the yard. Hopefully you have a great offseason, you and the family up there sipping that wine or whatnot, and can't wait to see you back on television next season for the Giants. A new look Giants with Buster Posey running the show. Thanks for the time today, Richie. Always a pleasure. Man.
See you guys later. Thanks, buddy. Man.
Absolutely. Rich Arroyo here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Lines. He talked about the history and bringing back the history. One thing about the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame, I brought Guru with me. I know you couldn't make it. We go to the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame, and I'm talking to a former Giant who helped this team win a couple World Series. And he goes, look at this room. Look at all this history. And look at Farhan. Look at Farhan. He's not embracing anybody. Nobody even goes up to him. Just look at him work the room. And then you see Sabian get inducted to the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame. The Poseys, the Bears, all the former players. And he talked about the history. I think the JT Snow right away. JT Snow was very outspoken about Farhan Zaidi. These guys didn't even give me a call to be part of the organization. JT Snow's one of the best first basemen this organization's ever seen. Now, we've had some great first basemen. And Richie brought up Will Clark. JT Snow was good. Really, really good. And the biggest stretch, the most successful stretch of Giants baseball before they won the World Series was from 97-03, and JT Snow had his fingerprints all over those squads. So, to Richie's point, bringing the history back, the former players, and reinvigorating this fan base. I could already feel it, Chasky, in the air. Giants fans are wearing their caps right now, jacked up about Posey running this team. I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot of fun next year at the yard. It's going to be a lot of fun. This team's going to play hard. They're going to play well for Posey. Watch.
I bet you Brandon Crawford joins the staff.
Oh, Crawford's going to be back. Belt's going to be back. Right? We'll embrace Belt. Yeah. We'll embrace him. Kevin Mitchell. Barry Bonds or whatnot. You got to embrace the history. And that's one thing Farhan did. We heard about the... What happened in the clubhouse?
Well, they got rid of all of the murals and all of the anything that had anything to do with the championships, all in the tunnel, in the dugouts, and everything was wiped away.
Why would you do that? Look at Alabama, right? They're playing Georgia. They look through their tunnels. All the championships, all the former players.
Part of something special.
LSU, to let these players know, hey, you walk out on this field. Justin Jefferson walked out on this field. You know, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, all the great LSU players, defenders, Honey Badger, you name it. Keep going, Shasky.
You know, the Celtics, the Lakers, Celtics. All these teams, they do it. You know, I was thinking, like, just about the current team, right? And, like, what is he inheriting? What is Buster Posey inheriting? It's not that bad.
Could be a lot worse.
No, it could. It could. But just let me just make the argument, just real quick. You got some trade pieces. I'll get to them in a second. But I still think Bailey can be salvaged. So I'm going to put him as my starting catcher for next year. So I've got a young starting catcher. I've got one outfielder I really like who's young, in Elliot Ramos. I'd like to see him back it up with a couple more good years before I really deem him, you know, a pillar. But I like him, and I think he's going to get a lot of runway. You got Chapman. I got the move. Hot corner locked up.
And you know what?
You got it locked up.
Thank Buster Posey for that. Because as Richie pointed out those two articles. Now, I felt like the Giants were going to fire Farhan after that. When I went on vacation, I was on vacation. They got beat up by the Brewers, and they lost 2-3 to the Marlins. And I thought, boy, September 30th and October 1st is going to be a hell of a day for Giants fans. Because I didn't think that was just my gut. Right? And then, but to the point, the source was right saying that, you know what? If they don't make the playoffs, Farhan's gone. And that source was right. Yeah. Farhan's gone. But those articles that Richie pointed out to, where Bagley said Posey had to step in and get the deal done, and Slusser's article had Boris quotes all over the place debunking that, saying, no, that's not true. Me and Farhan worked on a deal when he was out of the hospital.
I told you. Boris loves Farhan because all his third and fourth tier free agents had a landing spot after he duped him for the big fish.
Yep.
All right, so you got Bailey, Ramos, Chapman. And then look at this rotation. You got Logan Webb. You got Hayden Birdsong, and I'm going to throw Kyle Harrison in there still.
I got hope for him.
So that's 3 out of 5 on a rotation. That's not bad. And now I know Robbie Ray will have one more year, but you got to round out your rotation. And then you got Bryce Eldridge waiting.
We'll see. Is Robbie Ray going to opt out or is he going to come back?
B, I don't know. It's a great question.
Well, if he comes back,
hurt again.
What if Blake Snell opts out? Now Blake Snell's opting out, but what is Posey going to do with Blake Snell?
I want Blake Snell. I want him. I would love to give. I'd overpay. I told you, 5 years, $200 million. I just do it. Just do it. But you got a closer, or at least I think a guy who can be a closer, and Ryan Walker. Okay, and then I put into the let's see category, Tyler Fitzgerald. Like, let's see where he plays. Yeah. Second base. The biggest hole to me. We can go starting rotation on that. They need a shortstop.
Yeah.
They need a shortstop. So whether that's the kid from Milwaukee, Aramis, who hit, you know, 30 jacks this year, whether that's Kim from San Diego,
yeah.
I think shortstop, I'm just like circling. Yeah. Then I look at trades. What are the trades I can make? If you want to, I'm putting money down on this. Matos, Doval, and Luciano are gone.
Yeah.
Just mark my words.
Mark my words. Doesn't seem like a Buster Posey guy, and that's unfortunate because at one point
I agree.
I thought Camilo Duvall could be the best closer in Giants history. I really did.
He needs to change the scenery.
But whatever happened this past year, it didn't click with Bob Melvin, didn't click with this regime. Whatever happened with the contract extension, I have no idea. But you know what? Camilo Duvall is probably gone. He's just not a Buster guy.
Exactly. And then you got Matos and Luciano. I don't know what their value is, but I think that they'll be flipped. And then you got Bryce Eldridge waiting in the wings. So you're telling me I got the corners basically solidified for the next 4 or 5 years in Bryce Eldridge and Chapman. And I'm getting ahead of myself on Eldridge, and I'm going to do that. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to mark him in there.
Why not?
And then Ramos, Bailey, Chapman.
Do you do with Casey Schmidt?
See, I think I'd put him in the either let's see or trade category.
Because I may need a second baseman.
That's where I got a second baseman. Right now, Fitz, the bat, has got to get in the lineup. I like Fitz's bat. So I like him at second base. Fitz, I think, could be my poor man's Jeff Kent.
Yeah.
Because I think his power translates clearly offensively. Defensively, he's a little hit and miss. I don't love him as a shortstop. I love him as a second baseman.
Yeah. I wonder if Duvall's salvageable and what his market will be.
It's a great question.
I wonder, because he's got the stuff, but he didn't trust the stuff. Maybe he changes scenery. Maybe somebody gets their hands on him and he turns out to be a player here. But look, Buster Posey, I think instant credibility is something you used earlier, and that's one thing that's got me reinvigorated. John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, instant credibility. Now, we had to wait on Bob Myers, but bringing in Jerry West, which Joe Lacob did, bringing in Jerry West, instant credibility. It's like, oh, okay, we got some big boys in the front office now. Same thing with Mully. Mully became the GM, and not all his moves worked out.
No.
Not all of them, but it was instant credibility. And those guys, and Baron Davis, and Stack Jack, and Matt Barnes, and Jason Richardson, and Monte Ellis, and Al Harrington, and Andrew Smith, they bought into what Mully's vision was. And he brought in Don Nelson back. Now, Mully almost had to trade for Kevin Garnett. Now, when you have bad ownership, things don't work out. Now, I'll just leave it at that. However, the Giants, Greg Johnson, I'll give him this. He's linked up with Buster Posey, and it seems like Buster Posey has Greg Johnson's ear. And when you cater to a player, you cater to these guys who know what they're doing, I think that's a step in the right direction for Greg Johnson. It is. I think it is. So let Buster Posey run the show. You got Bob Melvin as a baseball guy. Now I'm eager to hear from Greg Johnson on what went wrong with Farhan Zaidi, because there was a lot of lip service this past season. I think the Giants are in... They're not in a worse situation.
Do you know how many games this team lost because they couldn't control the running game?
Well, they've lost games.
I know, but I'm talking about last 2 years.
Well, what about hitting where runners are scoring position?
No, that's an element, but it's also because you're so unathletic, you have guys at second base that you literally need to drive the ball into the gap for them to score. Right. Like, I agree. Situational hitting has got to get better.
No speed.
But Bonte, the base running, they cannot hold the runner on. They could not throw anyone out. No, and they didn't steal any bases. The running game has got to get better. The whole baseball world is running all over the place except the Giants.
Yeah, I think Shohei may have had more stolen bases than the Giants as a team.
Cruz had more than their entire team.
Ronald Acuña Jr. had 70 a season ago. They have to get faster.
100%.
And use that. And I think Buster Posey will see that and say, look, power ain't everything. Can I get some guys that can go gap to gap? Can I get some guys who go use all fields and drive in these runs? Let's get some guys in first and third. Because you know what excites baseball fans at a game? When you got guys hitting triples, when you got action on the base pass. There's nothing like action. Like, we all love the home run. But personally, I love action on the base pass.
Was the most exciting play of the last 20 20-